Let's get down. Let's get in it.
Perfect.
Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. You're back at the spot, the place, the location where the conversation is appointed. Guests are sharp. Responses are never dull. Today, we are with a mommy, a wifey, an empath, a world traveler, a creative girl, an entrepreneur, a life coach for empaths. I told her, I said, that's a tall recipe. Sounds like a cocktail I made the other day. But what she's doing is really, she's pouring her heart into what she does. And I love to talk to empaths because I'm not an empath, but I'm empathic. Luckily for me, and I say luckily for me because being an empath is a lot of heavy lifting. But for me, I can turn it off. Okay, like light switch. Okay, it's too much. It's on overload. But everybody doesn't have that filter. And so how do you utilize these gifts so that they don't hinder you, but help you and help others? It's hard. And to be able to identify that you are an empath. Some people will say you're overly sensitive. Some people will say that you're shy, or you're introverted, or you're whiny, or you are a whole bunch of other adjectives, when you are just a sensitive person that embraces and, you know, energetically you pick up on other folks' stuff. But how do you edit and filter? So we're going to talk to Melissa about that and a whole lot more. Welcome to the show, Melissa.
Hi, April. Thanks for having me. Hi, Brains. Nice to
Hey.
speak with you all. Thank you.
I love a pretty ginger. Oh, yes. I love that red hair.
I'm Irish, so O'Connell. So got
my
it.
daughter. My daughter went to Ireland and Scotland. She says,
Wow,
Mom, if
beautiful.
I could bring me back a redhead and a Highland cow, I'd just be so happy.
It's very charming over there. Yes, we're charming people.
You are. So tell us a little bit about you and how you show up in the world.
Sure. Yeah. So I, as you mentioned, I'm a life coach for empaths, but I myself am an empath and I grew up as an empath. I think, you know, I was born naturally with some tendencies, and then you go through things in your life as an empath that sort of make those things highlighted or bigger, and those tendencies that you have stand out even more. And so that was me. You know, I grew up and was very artistic, very sensitive, you know, really gravitated toward creativity. So the creative girl, that's who I am. And it wasn't always easy. You know, I was always sort of that old soul in like this little body, and then growing up and trying to find my way in the world. Obviously, you know, sometimes the outside world, whether it's your parents or your teachers, or they mean well, but they may not encourage you to go in certain directions because they think you're too sensitive or that you can't handle a certain creative, you know, pursuit or career, et cetera. And that happened to me too. I pursued art and dancing, et cetera. And then I ended up going to college and leaving for advertising, which was sort of creative. It was a shadow creative job, but at least it got me close. And that's where I kicked off my career. And then I found my way into the corporate world, and I started noticing that I wasn't the only one like this. And I had that inkling growing up, but now I'm around all of these other people, right, who are doing something that maybe isn't exactly what they want to be doing, but they're empaths, they're creatives, they're sensitives. And started really building a tribe and becoming a mentor for them. Throughout all of that, whether they were on my team or just colleagues, et cetera. And that helped me a lot. I think it helped them as well. And sort of as I was going through my 20-year corporate career, working, you know, I had worked in e-commerce and digital operations, et cetera, always bringing that creative slant and that creative problem solving. So all of those great things that empaths still have, running a team, I was considered the mom, you know, my teams always called me the mom because I was so empathic and mentoring them, et cetera. So
Okay,
using all
let
those
me
features.
just stop you here 1 second, because we keep using the word empath. Give us a definition for the word empath for those that don't know. I know, you know, but
sure.
A lot of people
Yeah.
out there that don't.
Yeah, and you kind of teed it off really well, April, at the beginning, where you said you're empathic, but you're not an empath. So there's empathy. You can have empathy for somebody's situation. You can feel bad that they're going through something, or, you know, want them to feel better about something. But an empath, as you mentioned earlier, actually feels the feelings of other people and feels the energy around them, the energy in a room. And so that's really overwhelming. So when you really literally can feel someone else's pain, or you can feel the chaos in a crowded room, or, You can feel, the anger from somebody else that they might bring into a room. It's really overwhelming. So as an empath, you're actually feeling that energy, and that's the difference. And as you said earlier, you can't turn it off. As an empath, you can't. And so what you're really doing is finding positive ways, positive habits to process all of that energy and transform it for yourself and use it in a good way so that you can function in your life. And that takes a lot of practice. And that's why, I saw a need for more coaches in this space because I had seen it and I had felt it.
Let me ask you this. Once you feel, as we both clearly defined it, these feelings, where do you go for resolution, help, coaching, support? Because it can affect every aspect of your life.
Absolutely.
Your relationships with your spouse, your significant other, your children, your parents, your schooling, your job. And then in your own mind, you're like, am I going crazy? Why am I feeling what, why I want to cry when Betty's over there crying? I don't have anything to cry about. These things, who do you go to support and how do you identify?
Yeah, no, that's
Is it like, and I use this term loosely, brain, so don't get all crunchy and email me. Is it psychosomatic? Is it physical? Do you need counseling, support group? I don't know how people find the help that they need. Yeah, they can find a coach, but if they haven't really identified and, put it under this umbrella.
exactly. Yeah. And so what I would say, and I'll share how I did it, I didn't know what an empath was growing up either. And I think the self-awareness of our society and our country and the world has changed over the last, 20 years. And so we talk about it a lot more now, but we didn't when I was growing up, right? So I started also noticing these things about myself. So I started just doing research. I looked online. I went to self-help books. Amazon is a great resource to start with. And started saying, looking for, I'm a sensitive person, sensitive people. And then that kind of leads you to these terms of empath and empathic and transforming energy and all of these things. So start on a path of just being curious and also looking for answers and not blaming yourself for it, knowing that there is something special about you. You just need to understand it better. So starting there. And then what I really actually help my clients do, because they feel the exact same way that you just mentioned. They're just overwhelmed by it all, right? So the first thing is just even acknowledging that you are that and that part of that is absorbing all this energy, right? And then starting to pay attention to what is your energy? What are your energy patterns? And then what are those that you're picking up from others? Because when you know your own energy patterns, then you kind of know if all of a sudden my mood changes because someone walks in the room or a certain situation happens, you can start pulling those two things apart, right? And then from there, you can either seek out further, your own self, education, which is really how I became a life coach. I went down this path of then getting certified because I was so curious and so wanted to help find answers to this. So you can continue on that path, or you can start looking for whether it's a therapist to help you deal with what you went through as a child that kind of led you to be so empathic, or a life coach was just going to help you move forward and look at how you can deal with those things going forward.
I always raise my hand because when I have
Yes,
a
no,
question,
please.
then. All right. So now you say, this could be something that is introduced in a way. There could be a certain trauma. Brains, again, I use these big $25 words, but go with me here. Trauma doesn't necessarily mean corporal punishment or locked in a closet or sexual assault. Trauma could be neglect. Trauma could be shyness, bullying. These things could also, in my opinion, and correct me if I'm wrong, heighten that sense of empathy or empathic nature because now you want to connect and you want to connect so much that you're like a sponge and you absorb these things. So, some would say that this is genetic or epigenetic. or it's, based upon your environment? Or can it be a combination of all three? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's a combination. My personal thought on this, and having been through it myself as well, and seeing it from so many people, is that I think that empaths are born with some tendencies toward this already. And then, as you mentioned, as we maybe move into traumatic experience, and this doesn't mean you had bad parents or like, but it could be, like you said, bullying at school or somebody, a teacher was not unkind to you, or could be all sorts of things that then trigger those tendencies to really magnify. And there, as you said, you want to connect so badly, you're absorbing, but also you're on high alert because all of a sudden you're like, I need to know, like, how's everyone going to react, so I can almost guess how they're going to react, so I can protect myself, or I can be what they need me to be, which is where the people pleasing thing comes in, right? So all of these little traumas and big traumas, if you went through that as a child, can then lead you to become, various levels of empathic. And some people are better at turning it on and off as an empath. But a lot of us, like myself, it is who I am, and I'm still learning, I'm still learning that, because of what I went through, and how I'm conditioned now for it.
Another thing you brought up is the people pleaser.
Yeah,
You
yeah.
find yourself as an empath in this somewhat isolated cocoon, because a lot of people don't understand. Again, they want to label, they want to judge, or they're so busy doing what they're doing that they're not paying attention, and you want to fit in. So maybe you can fall into a couple different slots. Maybe it's the overachiever. Okay, I'm going to really work hard. I'm going to stand out, and I'm going to be that cheerleader. I'm going to be, that teacher. I'm going to be that mama bear. I want everybody to come to me because I'm going to be able to take care of it. Or you can be the person that, I'm going to do whatever they say because I want everybody to be happy. I don't want any problem. I don't want any trauma. I don't want any tears. I can control it. Or you can be the person that is just so withdrawn and submerged that, you don't know what's going on, where you self-medicate. So, brains, it's on the spectrum. You got a wide variety and you got choices. That's why you need trained professionals like Melissa that's been there, done that, and wears the t-shirt that can help you say, hey, you know what? I can't diagnose you because I'm not a doctor. But what I can do is I can coach you through life experiences, and I can direct you and facilitate you and support you, love you, nurture you, and help you take all of these things and build a business and be able to use this for, the greater good. Am I right?
Absolutely, yeah. And a lot of those empathic tendencies are actually strengths, but it's the way you look at them and the way you use them. And that's really also what I help my clients with, is seeing that these are not curses, these are not burdens. It's just the way you use them and the habits that you choose to use around them. So
Safe to let people know that you're an empath? Sometimes people will try to play that against you. I don't believe in telling everybody everything. I really don't. My mother always told me, baby, don't ever give nobody ammunition to fight you with.
I hear you. I definitely hear you there.
So you have to have a trusted support group, people that understand, what you're going through, what you're feeling. I don't know. Well, how do you think? It's because building friends and building a tribe around you, that's important too, to support you.
Yeah, and you said the word that I always work with my clients on, which is find your tribe, right? And that's important for anybody in life, but especially for empaths, because those people are going to understand you, and you won't have to sit here and explain yourself. They're just already going to get it because they get it. They are that way. And so and empaths do have a different way of connecting with people. Like I have few friends, but it's quality, right? If I go into a big room, I hate small talk. I want to find that one person in the corner and like have like a great conversation about the universe, Not everyone can handle that, and I know that. And so you got to find the people who you can relate to. And that's actually going to help you also not feel like it's such a burden, because you're like, oh, there are others like me. People understand me. I'm not an outcast. I'm not weird. I'm not strange. It's just finding people that understand you and can relate to you. And you still have to deal with the other people.
Exactly.
But you have your tribe, and then you can go and be, more surface level if you need to be with the others, because they're on a different wavelength than you are.
Right. Well, now this is something that very interesting that you said. You did this in corporate America. Girl, I tell you, I used to love this. I learned this because body language was usually not my best friend. Girl, okay, well, sisters do this all the time. And it's like we tell externally. So I had to learn the poker face. I learned, how to agree and how to, well, that doesn't, how to pick my words very carefully. Maybe that's not the best thing for me, or, speak. I love this thing that they have on Instagram now, these motivational things where it says speak like an alpha, or how to be more assertive or how to be less assertive. So you've had to incorporate and navigate this in a corporate environment, and you're sitting there with the C-level and E-level executives, and you can read their energy. Wow. How can that be? This is a fun question. How can that be a strategic power play for someone in business? That's an empath.
Absolutely. So I liken it to, I was a bit of an actress or a shapeshifter, if you will. This is how I dealt with it, at least going through. So that I could read that, if somebody needed a more assertive, powerful response, or if somebody was expecting more of a softer tone, a softer touch, you kind of, as you said, you read the room, or these people that you're working with, what works for them. And in that way, you can kind of speak their language. And empaths are really good at that, because you can absorb that energy, you see that energy, you understand it. And if you get good at the replying back on those same wavelength, then that can be really a benefit to you, because empaths are great communicators. So it's meeting people where they are. And that's what I did. It was just sort of finding what that person needed. And I don't mean to group people into certain things, but you'd find those people who wanted a softer touch, or needed a harder message, and so you learn to go with that. Of course, I was making sure that I would always step back and still be myself and not get lost in that. A lot of empaths can also get lost in that. So I caution that, use this, practice this before you do it, and don't make it a people-pleasing habit. As you said, use it as a strength to meet, for example, in business, your clients for who they are, because you're not always going to maybe have empathic clients. You're going to have all kinds of clients potentially. And so you have to meet them where they are. And again, as an empath, you're a great communicator, and you can find that wavelength and connect with them on that, and then come back to who you are. So.
Again, and again, knowing your strengths, it's a strategy. Everything is a chessboard, brains.
Yeah,
You gotta
absolutely.
know when to put the pawn out there, but then you gotta know when to move the queen. And what happens is that leveling off, the reality of it, that really makes you strong. And then you can identify with who you are, and you can show you can show your hand. When I learned how to have a poker face, I'm telling you, I'm the best one in the room. Oh yes. But I know now, because I work with an ego coach. I'll tell you about that later too. But it was very interesting, because she taught me a lot, like you said, who to feed, what to give them, what their strengths are. Again, there might be somebody that loves to hold court. Okay, let them have their 10 minutes of fame. That doesn't have anything to do with you, but then be able to strategically know how to place that person or work with that person. You might have someone that's overly aggressive. If they are, then either you can meet that, or you can dial back and let them have their say, but gain respect. That's a hard thing too, that I have come across with people that have been empathic, is really them knowing their value and feeling respected.
Absolutely. And again, that's why I'm doing this, right? That there is value there. I think, again, and we're talking about corporate America, and I would tell people I was an empath when I was confident about it, as I became confident that I could do these things, right? Because I wanted people to know that I'm different, and I can be an empath and still be working in business and work. So I started owning that, right? But a lot of people, that I have worked with and mentored, throughout my career, shy away, or they just feel like that they just can't figure it out, and they're frustrated, and or they just go within themselves, and then their management is unhappy because they're not blossoming and coming out of their shell, and it's like they're just not getting what they need to blossom, and then also they don't believe in themselves because they think something's wrong with them, and that's where I really see a need to with empaths, is to let them know that, again, be confident with what you have to offer. All of these things can be strengths, as we've been talking about. So be proud of it, be proud of it. And so often, I think growing up, empaths have been told that it's not, these aren't blessings, these are burdens, and these are things that are wrong with them. And I think we really need to change that, not only just in our culture, but in our corporate world as well. And I think I see the tide changing there. But again, that's why I started owning up to it, because I want to be part of that change, and then I want to help people with that.
But it's, it's diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Everybody wants that, but it's tough,
Yeah.
Melissa. It's tough.
Yeah.
Let's keep it 100. First you got the racial divide, the sexual divide, the now transgender,
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, how you identify. Yep. Yeah.
Exactly. Women in the workplace, as being pregnant, that
Mom.
was a big, yeah, that was, yeah, moms, that
Yeah.
was a big stick. Physically impaired.
Yep.
It's a whole bunch of stuff. I wouldn't own a corporation.
I know.
Entrepreneurship is the best for me, but
It's tough.
oh yeah, knowing how to, again, navigate the landscape, working with a great coach, a support system. So you identify with who you are. That's the most important thing. Don't worry about the outside noise. Again, we just gave you a laundry list. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on, a whole lot of activity. Be comfortable with who you are, and then you can strategically place yourself on the chessboard to win. Let's ask you
Exactly.
some fun questions.
Okay. Those weren't fun.
This is my favorite part of the interview.
Right, go for it.
What is your favorite smell?
Ooh, my favorite smell. So I have a perfume that I've been wearing for years and years. It's called Estee Lauder Sensuous. And my husband still gets it to me. I mean, I think I've been wearing it for 20 years, and it just smells so woody, a little light floral, and warm. So I tend toward those smells. And they're almost discontinuing that, and I hope they never do. So if anyone's listening from that company, they still have it behind the counter at Macy's. So my husband can still get it for me, but that's my favorite scent. So
Your favorite scent. If you were an appliance in the kitchen, what
my
appliance
goodness.
would you be?
Wow, I didn't prep for that.
Oh,
Wine fridge. We have a wine fridge.
goodness. Okay,
I love my sparkling wine, so.
that's pretty cool. I'd be a refrigerator too, because I just want to chill.
Yeah. And we were talking cocktails earlier, so there you go. You and I make a
Absolutely.
great pair.
Absolutely. If you had three magical wishes, what
Oh,
would they be?
three.
Anything in the world.
Okay. Well, for my family, close and extended, all to be happy and healthy and, taken care of it. That definitely, of course. Yeah, I think that I could travel to as many countries as I could in this lifetime. I love travel. I know you and I have talked about that before. Yeah, and just that I think that I can help make a difference. And it's not that it's an ego-based thing. It's just that I can contribute in my little bit a way of some of the positive changes that are really happening in our society and culture and the world. I may not see all those in my lifetime, but for my daughter, and helping that along and hoping that it does make a difference.
See,
Yeah, not that was easy.
I would want to taste 100 different flavors of gelato.
That
That would be
sounds
one thing.
amazing.
The other thing is, I'd like to time travel.
Oh, amazing. So would I. I love history. That would be
Now,
amazing.
you would go back.
Yeah, you would go forward,
I
huh?
would go
There you go.
forward. I'd
Yeah,
shoot
no, that's
straight
great.
ahead. I'd shoot
Awesome.
straight ahead.
Yeah.
And then I think that I would, again, I just like for people to be able to communicate.
Yeah.
And I
Yeah.
don't, you know, everybody says, well, I
Welcome.
want world peace and all that. I
Yeah.
just want civility.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have a right. Now, I don't like okra. Okay, you may love okra, but let me not like it and not be a problem.
Exactly.
Allow
Exactly.
people choices. So those would be my big three. If you could go to a different planet, where would you go to?
I'm a little, I don't know about space travel, but if I could go, I think the moon. I mean, which hopefully we can call that a planet, right? It is a
Yeah,
planet. I think
it
this, it's fascinating to me, the moon. Just that it impacts the Earth in so many different ways, and probably us in our sort of makeup and our chemistry. There was just a full moon a night or two ago, and my daughter and I were talking about it. So I'd love to kind of just see it up close and personal, and not in black and white like we've seen it. So.
Now, does the moon affect your being an empath?
So I am a big believer and feeler of energy, and I believe it does. I believe that we used to be way more connected back when we didn't have technology and industrial age, et cetera, and we were connected to our crops and in the earth, et cetera. And I think now we're disconnected from that, but it still impacts us, but then we don't know what that impact is necessarily. We know something's off or something's changed. And then what is causing it? I think that's sad. And when I say go back in time, that would be maybe something that would be interesting to kind of connect back to. But I do think it does. I do think it does. We just don't know. We don't have that knowledge anymore, but I think we used to have it years and years ago.
Now you seem like you're an awesome communicator, and you said you have a daughter.
Likewise. Yes, I do.
What are you pouring into that little brain?
Oh my goodness. Well, here's the thing. She's an empath. She's a little creative, and it's really interesting is that I didn't make her that way, and I didn't make her creative. It's just natural. So that is
Well,
so
now how do you know? How do you
true.
know that you are?
Nature
No.
nurture,
Yeah, again,
but
you know, take it from a senior. I'm a
yeah.
senior citizen. Who does that? But no, seriously, you have had a considerable influence. You're her mother, you know,
True, true,
and
true.
that's
Yeah,
not to say that that's a bad thing. You know,
energy.
my daughter is a carbon copy of me, so I get that.
Yeah, exactly. Same.
But learning that, you know, and you facilitating and navigating that. You know, she's gonna have to break off and have her own journey. So what are you pouring into her?
Exactly.
What are you telling her?
Yeah, I think, you know, what I've seen her is struggling with her feelings. She knows she has a lot of feelings. Sometimes she gets really hard on herself and says, I've been bad, or you know, I don't like me, or you know, so what we talk a lot about is you have a lot of feelings. And you need to be your own best friend. And it's okay to have those feelings. And we have those feelings. Let's have ways that we can take care of them. And sometimes she needs like a physical way of like, is it throw a pillow? Or sometimes she needs to sit down in a quiet. But always that at the end of the day, I don't want her growing up and again blaming herself, thinking she's an outsider, all of this. I want her to know it's normal and that, you know, you can process that energy to get it, you know, out and through your body. And that also that you have something good to offer and you need to love yourself for it. And so those are kind of the three main, and then also we have to get to school on time. As
Oh,
empath, she hates getting up
absolutely.
and being rushed. So that's
Yeah, it
rough.
is. And it's a different skill set, you
Yes.
know? And how can I use my superpower for good and not evil?
Yes, exactly.
So,
Yeah.
what is your superpower? Outside of the empath, outside
Yeah.
of time traveling and being the wine fridge, what is your
Yeah.
superpower?
My superpower, I think that I don't think of this as just an empath thing. I think that I can see the good, which is good and bad in everybody, in the potential, right? And so I use that as a something in the corporate world all the time where like if you're mad at someone or somebody has disappointed you know, look for that good thing in them. Everybody has a mom somewhere. Everybody was born. Everybody has a life. So I think I'm really good at being able just to see. And again, I think that's outside of my empathic abilities. I think it's just that ability to have that perspective that we're all just here. We're doing the best we can. You know, in the corporate world, as you know, it's like feels like it can be life or death, but it's not. Come on, you know, and like being able to give people a break on that, and to give them a second chance, and I think that, that has served me usually well.
My thing is, I kind of look at people's intention.
Yes, exactly. That's
You know,
exactly.
and it's hard to read people's intention, but you have to, like you say, you have to give people the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Relationship. I've been married to Mr. Magnificent 40
Oh,
years.
amazing. Congrats.
And but if we didn't give each other the benefit of the doubt, baby, it probably wouldn't have lasted 6 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Because we have
True.
a tendency to overthink, to overanalyze, to overcriticize, to listen to that monkey mind,
Yeah.
listen to the outside influence. And it's hard to, tone that out and just focus in on yourself, because then, you say, well, am I being selfish and I'm not being a team player? Well, you know what, brains, it's a lot. It's a big container, but it is a place that you can fill it up. And when it gets to the top and you got overflow, then you work with people like Melissa that help you figure out really what are you storing and is that important? What else can I add in this container to make it good? What can I extract? How do I mix it up? So there's a lot of options and choices. Don't feel like you're pigeonholed. Don't feel like you should be ashamed or embarrassed. It's tough when you're a kid because you don't have anything to benchmark it against but your mother or your father or your peers. So it's hard. So what I want you to do is just turn up the volume. Listen more, read some books, have a creative outlet, art, music, science, love. There's a whole lot that you can do. And working, I think, with Melissa would just be a dream come true, especially if you're a business owner. If you want that business to go to the next level, because you're stuck. I found myself a few weeks ago, I was at an event and I was stuck. I didn't think I'd ever be stuck. I've had my own business since I was 5 years old. And I was stuck. I needed a disruptor. And that disrupted me. And you know what? To shake it up sometime and not have the answers is perfect. Let somebody else color in the white space. Your life is a blank canvas. Draw a masterpiece. You are a masterpiece. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you.
Sure. I have a website, creativegirlhelpingtheworld.com. So if you can remember that, or at melissa@creativegirlhelpingtheworld.com is my email. So just remember Melissa, Creative Girl Helping the World. Yeah, and I'd love to hear from you. And thank you so much, April, for having me on and letting me speak with all the brains. I really appreciate it today.
Well, I really appreciate you being open, honest, and vulnerable to share with what you feel, because we're all feeling our feelings,
Absolutely.
but
And we
it's how
should.
we manage it and it's how we process it. That's what's so important, because they're going to come.
Exactly.
They like death and taxes. The feelings is going
All
to come.
people. Exactly. Correct.
Exactly. But thank you so much again. Brains, I need you to go in and check out Melissa. I'm going to put all of her information at the back part of the interview there. And I see your cat. Where's your cat? Your cat's.
Yeah, I'm trying. Our
That's,
little tiny
don't worry about it. We like cats here on the edge. Okay. I want you to go in and love, like, share, and subscribe. Go back and listen to it, because I'm going to go back and listen to it. There's a lot of valuable information in there. There's a way for you to create a strategy. There's a way for you to love yourself. There's a way for you to open up this conversation to your children if you feel that they're struggling. So, we want to head off the freight train. Okay. Thank you so much again, Melissa. Come back and see me again soon, baby. All right.
Thanks, April Worldview. I appreciate it. Take
All right.
care.
All right. Bye, brains.